Good day, and welcome to the Kontur Global acquisition of CHP portfolio from Alpek. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Joseph Brand. Please go ahead, sir.
Sergei, thank you, and good morning, and thank you for attending a call that I think most of you know has been oft rumored but never quite convened. Now here we are in the new year, and I'm happy to announce that we are acquiring Alpek's combined heat and power portfolio. We have a slide deck. It's been posted under the investor relations section of our website. I'll be referring to the slides during the call. I'm joined by my colleagues on the call, Alessandro Marinaro, who's responsible for our growth and development efforts in Latin America, Carl Schnatt, our Chief Operating Officer, and Laurent Hulot, our Interim Chief Financial Officer. We'll start, please, on slide five of the slide deck. And just to point out, before we go into the details, that we're very pleased with this acquisition and announcing this acquisition today. The acquisition of these combined heat and power plants from Alpek reflects the way we like to grow with high quality, contracted assets, no commodity risk, and acquiring assets using cash on the balance sheet combined with attractively priced amortizing project finance facilities against the assets and recourse to the assets. As you know, if you followed us and have reviewed our strategic commitments since IPO, we target a leverage ratio of between 4 and 4.5 times net leverage. We have frequently said that when we announce a new acquisition like we are today, or we develop a new power plant, that we will obviously be above that range at the beginning of the acquisition of the business. But given the amortizing profile of the underlying debt, we confidently predict that we will, post acquisitions of this type, be back within the 4 to 4 times leverage ratio range within the 12 months of closing this acquisition. And we expect that, in this case as well, expecting a closing sometime in the second quarter of 2019. We'll discuss the conditions around closing, most important of which will be the successful completion of the commissioning period for the large combined cycle known as CGA1 and its entry into commercial operation. The acquisition is a major acquisition. It's our second large acquisition in 9 months. It will contribute meaningfully to EBITDA and to our target of growing EBITDA by doubling in within a 5-year period without issuing any new equity. We expect the acquisition in its first full year of operations to contribute approximately $110 million of EBITDA. It's an attractively priced acquisition at 6.58 times EV to EBITDA multiple. It's earnings and credit accretive, providing meaningful pickup both to the quality of and volume of earnings, but also to the credit profile of the group. The business is one that we like as well because it fits very neatly into what we call our Kontur Global Solutions business. Kontur Global Solutions, as you may know, is a business that supplies commercial and industrial customers with on-site energy products. Many of you know this business as the business that's anchored to Coca-Cola in Europe and Africa, where we provide electricity, heat, steam, chilled water, and in several of the sites capture CO2 from the exhaust, which is used then to carbonate beverages on the site. The solutions business has been one that we've been engaged with for almost a decade. It's been a highly attractive business for us. It anchors us to some blue chip clients of the type that we're acquiring here in the Alpek acquisition, where Alpek, one of the leading providers of petrochemical and industrial products in Mexico and one of the most respected groups, the Alpha Group in Mexico, will be the anchor contract counterparty for the output, both the heat, the steam, which will be consumed on site, but also significant amounts of the electricity will be consumed as well by affiliates of ALPEC and of the Alpha Group. And so we like this opportunity to grow, further grow the solutions business. We like the ability to grow with such a high-quality company as ALPEC and the Alpha Group, and it's very consistent with the way we have built this on-site business over time, and we see continued opportunity in this business line. As you know, we expanded the business into Brazil with customers like Ambev and Ingridion back in 2017 when we acquired the CHP portfolio from one of Iberdrola's subsidiaries. And so we now have acquired a substantial CHP portfolio, very attractively priced, and a very attractive business for us to incorporate into both the solutions business and our overall operating profile. We expect there to be meaningful growth with this business over time, not just with the development opportunity that comes with this acquisition of a third CHP plant adjacent to the large combined cycle that's currently in commissioning, but also to grow further into market, which is Latin America's second largest electricity market. It's Mexico is a market with substantial need for on-site industrial power and cogeneration products like heat and steam. And we see this as a market that will see substantial growth for us as we move forward after the closing of this acquisition. The Mexican electricity market is attractive as well, because it's a U.S. dollar-based market. The energy sector is predominantly U.S. dollar denominated, both for the fuels, which are primarily in the fossil fuel area, becoming natural gas, being transported from north of the border from unconventional gas sources in the southwestern United States, but also in terms of electricity contracting, which is all dollar-linked in this market. And so we find that the opportunity to make such a substantial acquisition in a market that will increasingly need flexible on-site generation powered by low-carbon profile natural gas to be an opportunity to grow meaningfully in a market with a very significant amount of forward demand. With that, and to go into more of the details, I'll turn this over now, referencing slide 6, to Alessandra.
Thank you, Joe. So, as Joe mentioned, Mexico is a key target market for us. It's a high-growth market. Consumption is expected to grow 3.5% per year in the future. And Mexico has a target of 35% of its matrix to be based on clean technology by 2024. And cogeneration plants, like the assets that we are acquiring, are considered clean generation under Mexican regulation, which brings certain benefits to the project and competitive advantages. Also, the assets benefit from a regime in Mexico that is called Legado regime that was granted for plants that obtained its permits before the new energy reform. And those benefits are not available to new plants being installed in Mexico. So both together, the status of being a clean technology and the Legado regime delivers a competitive advantage to the assets. And they are one of the most efficient and cost-competitive plants in Mexico. Also, by the plant in Mexico, you are allowed to sell directly to end consumers under a special regime, where you have lower wheeling fees. The plants are not exposed to congestion risk. It's entitled to a mechanism called Energy Bank that mitigates significantly volume risk as well. So, in summary, we believe the plants have a very advantageous competitive position compared to other technologies and new assets. As Joe mentioned, Alpha Group affiliates are the anchor of takers, contributing to 30% of the assets revenues for the next 10 years. The steam is contracted under 20-year steam supply contract with the petrochemical complexes, Alpec petrochemical complexes. We expect that at closing, the plants will be 90% contracted under PPAs with a weighted average life of 11 years. And excess power not consumed by Alpha affiliates are sold directly to commercial and industrial clients, high-quality Mexican industrial and commercial companies, mostly in the petrochemical, retail, auto parts sectors. And is predominantly U.S.-linked PPAs with gas cost pass-through, and this is a U.S. dollar-denominated business, so we are not exposed to the Mexican peso risk. The only PPAs denominated in Mexican pesos are to protect the part of the OPEC that is also denominated in Mexican pesos, eliminating completely our currency exposure. In terms of the financials of the acquisition, we are acquiring the assets at a very attractive multiple of 6.58 times the EBITDA expected for the first full year of operation. And the total consideration is $724 million plus refundable VAT to be paid at closing and refunded 12 months after that. We will finance this acquisition with an amortizing U.S. dollar project finance debt to be fully underwritten and led by Scotiabank that will be entered at closing in an amount up to $590 million. So in the next slide, we talk a little bit about the assets. So both assets are of very high quality technology and manufacturers. The first asset is located in Veracruz State. You can see that on slide 7. It's been in operation for 5 years, selling steam to the petrochemical complex that Alpec has in Cosoleacaque, and sells its power to Alpec affiliates and other industrial and commercial clients under long-term PPAs. The other plant on slide 8 that you can see, it's CGA1. CGA1 is also selling its steam output under a 20-year contract to ACRA, that is the PTA plant in the Altamira region, and also has long-term contracts with Alpec affiliates. CGA1 is now under commissioning, and we expect that the plant will be in operation in the first half of 2019. It's important to highlight that closing of this transaction will happen only if CGA1 is successfully commissioned and passed all the commissioning tests, so we are not taking construction risk. Also, there is a development right that we are acquiring together with the other two assets to build an adjacent plant in the same site of CGA, which if we are successful in developing this project, we will perceive a lot of synergies by operating two large cogeneration plants in the same site. In the following slide 9, you can see some nice pictures of the plant. As you can see, the plant is basically completed going through commissioning right now. So we do not expect, we expect that closing will happen in the first half of 2019. With that, I will ask Laurent, please, to present the following slides.
Thank you, Alessandra. So if I turn to slide 10, So we expect to fund this acquisition with a combination of cash on the balance sheet and up to around $590 million of senior debt that we are currently finalizing with Scotiabank, which is a very well-known financial institution in Latin America. This debt will be issued by closing and will be denominated fully in U.S. dollars. This is because the vast majority of the contracts are USD-linked PPAs, as we explained. In terms of consolidated leverage debt, if we consider, as Joe explained, all the deleveraging of the portfolio and cash generation, we expect to return in the range of the 4 to 4.5 times 12 months after closing. As the same way we have done for the acquisition in Spain. So we are very confident that we will be back in the range in the course of 2020. In terms of timetable, this transaction effectively qualifies as a Class 1 transaction. Therefore, we will publish a Class 1 circular sometime in April, and we will submit the transaction to the approval of the general meeting a couple of weeks later. So we expect to close the transaction in H1 2019. So now I will briefly review how the acquisition of these plants will impact our overall portfolio. So I will turn to slide 11. So this slide 11 illustrates that, as we've said, the acquired portfolio will be a substantial contributor to the group and will fall within the top five of our assets globally. As we explained, this acquisition is completely in line with the strategy to target acquisition with long contracted life. Inclusive of this acquisition, we estimate that approximately 90% of our revenue will be fully contracted in the next 5 years, so from 2019 to 2023. And this new M&A will add contracts with a weighted average life of about 11 years. From a group perspective, so inclusive of this acquisition, the average remaining life of the portfolio as a consequence is about 12 years. If I now move to the next slide, so slide 12 and 13 together. This transaction effectively allows to further diversify the portfolio. So this new portfolio is an add-on to our existing solutions business. So the solution business is this high efficiency cogeneration business, which grows from 5% of our adjusted EBITDA to now 18% going forward. This also, it's clean energy that also goes with our renewable energy that still represents 43% of our portfolio, while the traditional thermal now decreases to 39%. It also improves, and as we discussed, because it's a USD-denominated contract, essentially, it improves the level of hard currency of all our PPAs in the group. So if you look at euro and USD combined, they are now representing more than 83% of our adjusted EBITDA. So that brings the non-hard currency portion of only 12% for the reais, because we are hedging a portion of the reais exposure already. Having said that, I will now turn to Joe for the key conclusions.
Okay, Laurent, thank you. Thanks again. Before we turn it over to questions, just to summarize, a significant transaction announced today, a transaction that we discussed during the IPO process and have updated the market about since then. We like the size of the business being acquired, very significant EBITDA contribution that moves us much, much closer to our doubling goal, attractive in terms of its valuation at 6.58 times EV to EBITDA, earnings accretive, credit accretive, and a business that fits very neatly into an area that we've been active in for nearly a decade in providing blue chip clients with their on-site electricity and energy needs under long-term contract. With that, I'll turn it over to Sergey to announce the Q&A period and the process for that.
Thank you, Mr. Brand. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question over the phone. We will now take our first question from Jenny Ping from London. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's Jenny Ping from Citigroup. Three questions, please. Firstly, with regard to the guidance that LPEC had given previously in the past for their two assets when it's in full operations, they had talked about $120 million. Can you give us a feel as to what sort of differences that you're baking in versus what they had? Why is your number lower? Secondly, with regards to the assets under commission, again, looking at some of the LPEC presentation in the past, they had talked about the asset CGA-1 being in operations in 2018. I guess the question on that is why the delay, and if there were delays beyond 1H of this year, what indemnities does the Contour Global get? And then thirdly, just on the cost of debt for the $590 million, are you able to give us a ballpark figure in terms of the cost associated with that currently? Thank you.
Yeah, okay, Jenny, let me kick off with a couple of the questions. So in terms of the EBITDA forecast, you know, we, as you are aware, have a preference to have power plants that are predominantly under contract. And so without going into, because we wouldn't know exactly how LPEC was calculating the contribution of these businesses within their company when they expected them to be owned by them, I suspect that a significant amount of their output was not contracted on the electricity side, and they were probably making assumptions about merchant power prices. We obviously, given that 90% of the output will be contracted at closing, have a very high degree of visibility on the EBITDA contribution. And so I suspect that explains the differences in the two approaches. In terms of cost of debt, we're looking at something roughly in U.S. dollars of 5.25% all in terms of the interest rate, and then that facility obviously amortizes. In terms of the commissioning, I'll turn that over to Carl. I'll say that we're confident that given that commissioning has now started, that we will be on track for a first half closing. In terms of the reasons for the delays that they experienced, it were primarily delays in completing the construction of the facility, but I'll turn over to Carl to provide some more detail on
thanks,
the
BGU. So, yeah, thanks. So we have clearly, let's say, monitored the works on site even when last year, and even in 2017 when we did the first due diligence, we already say that this were behind that schedule, so we were aware about it. And at some point we guided them, and now coming to end of 2018, so there were a lot of specialties, and one of the subjects was back energization. So the switchyard should be connected to the grid, and there were also some delays from the grid operator. So all this has been solved, and now we have a really reliable commissioning schedule. And just today they start the full start of the commissioning works, and we expect that the first fire will happen during this week. First fire means to fire the gas turbine. We already have commissioning people on site, specialists from Contour Global, which join the commissioning works. And so far, we don't see, from our point of view, further delays, that it is going beyond first semester 2019. We don't see a risk here.
And Jenny, on the second part of the last question about indemnities, the way we've structured the transaction is the closing obligation is dependent upon the CGA 1 plant, which is in commissioning, to reach the point where it can go into commercial operations. So when the commissioning is complete and the plant is accepted, and we structure it like that because we don't want to take the risk of acquiring a plant in construction without knowing that it will pass all of its commissioning tests and be capable of going into operation. That said, we would benefit from the EPC, the performance guarantees of the construction company and the equipment provider, technology provider here. So we get the benefit of a plant that will be ready to go into commercial operations and will be accepted into commercial operations, but also any warranty, et cetera, that falls under the EPC contract or the turbine equipment supply contract would be transferred to us as the owner of the operating asset.
But just to be clear, there's no adjustment to the price if there were to be a delay.
No, there's no price adjustment, but if the plant is incapable of entering into commercial operations, we wouldn't close. There'd be no closing.
Perfect. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now move to our next question from Vincent Ayral. Please go ahead.
And good morning. couple of questions regarding the contracted / regulated nature of these assets. Because we got a few data points here, we see that the steam is fully contracted for about 20 years, yet we have about 90% of the capacity expected to be contracted, so I guess we're just talking power here, talking about 11 years. Could you give us a bit of, dumb it down, tell us, okay, steam, there's that much capacity, it's contracted for 20 years. Power, that much is contracted on the operating. How much is on the one already contracted on the one which is to be commissioned? Just to understand exactly the contracted nature there. The second related question is the Legado regime. So here we are fully contracted, pretty much, with industrial customers. So could you give us a bit more color on to which extent this Legado regime provides additional, safety or protection. I can see you have something on page 16. I can see a couple of points, but that would be of interest. And another question here regarding gas supply. It seems that some of it come from the U.S. shale, if I understood properly your comments a bit earlier. So if there is any risk there, and what type of mitigation would you have on that, just to understand the gas supply side of the equation? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I will take those questions. In terms of the contracting level, the steam of both power plants are contracted under 20-year contracts. For the smaller plant, the contract goes until 2034 because it was commissioned in 2014. And for the larger plant, it's 20 years starting from the commercial operations date, so until 2039. The 90% expected at closing, it's revenue, so we believe it's over that. It seems it's 100% contracted, so it will be over 90%. And the weighted average life is 11 years. In terms of Legado regime, So the legato regime for those plants, they go for CELPS until 2034 and for CGA until 2038-39, because it's also counted 20 years from commercial operations. What I could give you some examples of the benefits. I think the first benefit that is really important is that those plants do not face congestion risks, which new plants in Mexico will face given the new regulatory regime. This means that if the plant is located in one state, for example, in Tamaulipas, and wants to sell energy into the Mexico city area, you don't have any risk related to the difference of nodal prices. So basically, you can reach customers anywhere in the country in the interconnected system without risking paying for congestion charges due to difference in nodal points, connection points. The energy bank mechanism, it's a mechanism that mitigates volume risk, because if you generate excess energy in some periods of the year, you store, let's say, at the energy bank, and then you can withdraw, for example, during a maintenance or during a forced outage, so it mitigates the volume risk. So it's an interesting protection. Lower wheeling fees, those plants, they pay more or less half of the normal wheeling fees, and it's a stamp price fixed. So it also eliminates risks related to wheeling fees. And then you have some charges that the plants do not pay. So this altogether makes the plants more competitive than new assets coming online in Mexico, if not under the legado regime. And especially another point that's important is that cogeneration, those plants are exempted to acquire clean energy certificates because they are considered clean energy, differently than combined cycle power plants that need to buy clean energy certificates to offset emissions. So overall, those benefits, we believe, make the assets very attractive. On gas supply, both plants have a 10-year gas supply contract with NEG. NEG is an affiliate of Alpha Group, the gas trader of Alpha Group. So it's a subsidiary of Alpha Group, supplying contract under a firm basis for 10 years for both plants.
Vincent, in terms of the source of gas, on your question, Vincent, about source of gas and whether we have concerns, the answer is no. The primary growth in supply to the Mexican market and natural gas is primarily used for the electricity sector is coming from the unconventional gas sources in the United States, and it's fed by a significant expansion of pipeline capacity that's occurred over the last 5 years and continues. There's, I think, right now roughly 25 pipelines that are in construction today, and there is the ability to bring gas in by 2020 of something like 14 BCF. And so the substantial amounts of gas are already flowing into Mexico. This will drive the continued growth in the gas-fired market in the country, and will keep prices for electricity very attractive, and rapidly natural gas-fired power plants are displacing the liquid fuel that was previously on the margin.
Just to come back on that very quickly, knowing that Alpha Group is also your end consumer as customer here, is it a back-to-back contract? So if for some reason we know politics are volatile on the border, so if there were to be something which no one expects today, which could potentially shut the U.S. to Mexico gas flows, would you have protection for that, knowing that Alpha Group is both your supplier and your customer. And Ease Alpha Group, basically, you supply 400% of the gas volume. So that would be the question one. And the regarding the contracting and the legado, I still don't get the full equation on how much of the power, you know, what is the revenue coming from power and how much of it is contracted for how long versus steam in order to be able to get the full equation there. And on the legado regime, I understand this is a good and supporting regime, especially for CHP, but I suppose this is reflected in the PPA contract itself. So if there were to be any change to the regime, would you have protection for that? Thank you. It's just to understand fully the picture there.
Okay, Alessandra.
Yeah, so I can take the question. So under the gas supply agreements, if there is failures on gas supply, of course, the gas trader is responsible to pay for replacement gas cost. However, if it's a scenario, as you mentioned, that the U.S. shuts down the border and stops supplying gas to Mexico or vice versa, this will be a force majeure event, although I assume this is a highly unlikely scenario. In terms of the legado regime, so I don't know if I understood your question. So the power, all power supplied by those plants are supplied under this legado regime. The new law does not change the legado regime. If you are asking about future political changes of the legado regime, we don't see that happening, and the new president, Mr. Obrador, also we are not expecting any changes on the regulatory framework of the electricity sector. So I don't know if that addresses your question. In terms of how much of the revenues are coming from steam and how much from gas, from power, sorry. If you give me 1 second, please. So approximately 15% of the combined revenues are related to steam revenues.
The Vincent, the way we think about our contracts is on an EBITDA-adjusted basis. I mean, the business that we have, for example, now in the solutions business, whether it's with Coca-Cola or Ambev, produces, you know, EBITDA that comes from multiple sources, including CO2 capture that leads to sales of CO2, liquid chilled water, heat, steam, electricity, and I'm not sure it provides much analytical purchase to try to break out where exactly the EBITDA comes from. I think that what matters to us is what's the weighted average life of the EBITDA that we receive from a portfolio of assets or an individual asset. And here it's about 11 years between the heat and steam contracts and the electricity contracts.
And then what would be the percentage of EBITDA which is contracted in effect? The duration, I get it, it was more like a qualitative on basically the EBITDA and the contracted nature at the EBITDA line.
Right. So, and the question is what, Vincent? What's the?
Understand how much of the EBITDA is contracted. Because here I see a few lines with revenues for steam, you know, but I don't understand when I see this in front of my eyes how much of the EBITDA is in fact contracted. It's just to get a sense of the nature of this EBITDA.
More than 90% of the EBITDA will be contracted at closing.
Okay, thank you.
With an average life of 11 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move to our next question from Alex Hogan. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just one from me. I wanted some more information on this potential development of the CJA2, I assume it would be called. I was just wondering, how much would it be expected to cost to develop this site? What would the time frame be in terms of when would you expect to start the development, given the cost savings that could occur once it's up and running? Thank you.
So the cost will not be much. We are talking about obtaining environmental licenses, doing the basic engineering design, so it's not a large amount of money. We believe that the time frame to obtain the licenses, the additional permits required would take around 12 months after closing, when the plant will be, let's say, ready to be built. So this will be mid-2020. And then a construction of that size, and Carl, correct me if I'm wrong, will take around 3 years.
Yeah, so the construction time will be less than 2 years, and the cost will be, construction cost will be around $300 million.
Okay, and just following on from that, would you expect to finance that construction with additional project financing, or would there be an additional?
Yeah, it would be project financing. Okay. It would be project financing. So that type of asset is very attractive for project financing, because we wouldn't take that forward without having it contracted as the current assets are contracted. And so at that level of contracting, you're going to put something in the neighborhood of 70 to 75% debt at the asset level, secured by the asset.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question comes from Mark Elliott. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I've got Harold on the line with me. Quick couple of questions from us. First of all, have you got any sort of operating data on these sort of existing plants, sort of efficiencies you're getting there? And also any thoughts on going forward, sort of selling, are you going to be looking to sell down at, let's say, 49% stake or less, and the kind of time horizon you'd be thinking to do that within?
Okay, sure. Carl, do you want to talk about the efficiencies of the two?
Yeah, so this is... this cogen has a high efficiency, so we have for this plant we calculate an efficiency of 72%, which is higher, even higher than the best CCGTs in the world, which is around 61-62% today. So based on this, it's based on the heat production. And the new asset will be designed in the same way.
Okay.
And then in terms of how we...
Okay.
Sorry, if you have a follow-up. Yeah, I was going to say in terms of how we would think about bringing in minority investors into a business like this. This is obviously a business that has the elements that we've seen are very attractive to financial investors. It's certainly something that we will pursue, particularly given the growth profile that we think we'll see in the country. And so in terms of timing for something like that, you know, we're probably looking at something in the neighborhood of 6 to 12 months for a full year's view of operations and being able to have an asset that will be viewed as de-risked from an operating perspective by a financial investor, and then we would look to see what type of interest there would be in partnering on the assets.
Great, thanks. And sorry, just quickly coming back on the first point, just want to know, do you also see scope for any operational improvements versus what the plant has currently achieved and also what is expected from the previous plants under your management, or you think it's fairly well optimized?
Yeah, so for example, the biggest one is the one which is at the moment under commissioning. and we already have changed the O&M regime in the way that Alpec has planned to sign a long-term maintenance contract and an operation contract with Siemens. Due to our experience we have with this big gas turbines, we have stopped this, and we will do it as we do it also in Aruba, for example, or Temo and Kali. So we do it with our team, with our specialists, and together with the gas turbine manufacturer, but not signing an expensive long-term maintenance contract. This is, for example, as an example, how we improve the, let's say, efficiency and add value to the maintenance and operation.
Gotcha. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Jonathan Goldblum. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question. Happy New Year. It's around the CFADS that you expect to generate from this asset. So I suppose inherently it's a question about the how aggressive the amortization schedule is. So perhaps if you could talk about that and also confirm that your return to 4 to 4.5 times leverage that is presumably before new equity, or does that include new equity coming in at this asset level?
Sure. Laurent, do you want to take those, please?
Yes, sure. I will take those questions. So on an average basis, so excluding any one-offs, let's say, so the CFAS we would expect for this transaction is around $35 million a year, 35. And then coming to your second question, so effectively we expect to come back to the 4.5 times without issuing any new equity. This is because the portfolio is deleveraging very rapidly, so it's more than $250 million of amortization every year, globally. So it's going very fast, and then there is all the cash generation of the assets coming up from that's all the CFAS, not only of this acquisition, but all the rest of the group, which effectively helps to come back to the 4.5 times 12 months after the acquisition.
That's great. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. And we have a follow-up question from Vincent Ayral. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Just two very quick. First, when I see the EV/EBITDA multiple, it's highly contracted, yet it's in emerging. So we see 6.6 times. Often to make a take a view on this one, but I would be interested in knowing what is the WACC you actually use for your Mexican contracted asset, such as this one. And so we question one, and the second one is we have seen the stake sell down over the last year. We have a guidance for doubling EBITDA, but that was not necessarily including stake sell down. Will this guidance be basically corrected or presented on a consistent manner so we know basically the capital employed and the EBITDA which corresponds to it remain consistent versus what we had like a year ago? Thank you.
Yeah, so let's take the last question first. We'll double EBITDA on a consolidated basis, and we'll double it on a proportional basis within a five-year period. We'll start, given that we've had two very successful financial investment farm downs in the last 6 months. When it comes to providing results and outlook for 2019, we'll start to show owners EBITDA or proportional EBITDA. But I'm confident that we're obviously, knocking on the door of doubling consolidated EBITDA, but we'll be able to double proportional EBITDA as well within a five-year period. And so we'll give people both. In terms of multiple, I think the multiple is extremely attractive. I mean, Mexico is an OECD country. It's a market that's a U.S. dollar market when it comes to power and electricity. It has a very long and successful history of private power investment. And I think that you can just, you can tell by the way that credit prices in that market, particularly credit on power generating assets, that the market views Mexico as a strong economy and a stable place for investment. And so I think when you look at a multiple here that is better than the peer transactions, and there's one that was done in the last 6 months of a similar portfolio, but not as contracted, and yet the multiple was higher for the buyer. And then when I think when you look at fully contracted gas portfolios in Latin America and countries like Chile and Peru, you'll see that this is a much more attractive multiple. And so, you know, when I think about value here, I think about a business that has the type of contract profile that we like. It's in an OECD country. It's a U.S. dollar contract. It's very attractively priced debt. And it's a multiple that's sub 7x that I think is very attractive for any market. In terms of WACC, I don't know, Alexander or Laurent, whether you want to talk about Mexico WACC.
So we estimated Mexico WACC between 8% and 9%. So for the power market, yeah.
Obviously, it's obviously a very significant spread to however you would want to calculate WACC for contracted power in Mexico. Okay, thank you, Vincent.
Thank you. And as a final reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. And we have another question from Miguel Medina. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just two questions. The first one is a clarification. I guess that this potential CGA2 will not be entitled to the legato regime. Is that correct?
So CGA2, it's already permitted under the legato concession. The legato regime... Yeah, they already have the concession. The legato regime foresees that the plant needs to be built until the end of 2019. However, this plant was not built by Alpek because the government didn't grant the interconnection capacity. We understand now that the system is able to take the additional energy, and it was required an extension of the regime. So it's already entitled to the regime, and OPEC requires an extension.
Okay, and then the second question, not related to Mexico, is a question on your Spanish portfolio. Recently, the Spanish administration announced that they were going to grant a more generous remuneratory treatment of assets that were operational before 2013. I guess that has a positive implication for your CSSP plants in Spain, correct?
Yeah, so this is Miguel, an interesting question. We, as people know who followed the way we underwrote the investment, underwrote at a level that's below, in terms of the regulated rate of return, level that has been recommended. Then in addition, as of, I guess, 8 days ago, there was this new wrinkle saying that there would be an option to potentially choose, if you're a pre-2013 asset, a different locked-in 10-year rate of return. So effectively eliminating the adjustment. That seems pretty interesting to me. I think that the devil, though, will be in the details, and there aren't a lot of details about how one would go about pursuing that option. and when the decision would have to be made, et cetera. But it's certainly something that's caught our eye, and we're definitely going to follow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no further questions in the queue, I would like to turn the call back to Mr. Brandt for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Sergey. Thank you, everyone, for attending the call this morning. We're very pleased to announce this acquisition and look forward to continued engagement and follow-up with you. So long.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.